Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Consumer Complaint Department here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, there are some people you just can't please. You can go out of your way. You can do everything you can to improve a product. And there are some people you're going to just tick off.
We have been getting hundreds and hundreds of phone calls from people saying, what are the automobile manufacturers trying to do to us? And we're just trying to make a living like honest people. Well, we're just trying to make a living. And what they're talking about is the fact that the automobile manufacturers have almost all agreed to produce cars in the future that have a release inside the trunk. And the people who've been calling us are all connected, you know, with a certain kind. I don't know what they all sound
with
like.
The jabroni crime family.
And they're saying, how's a guy supposed to make a living? You know what I mean? I mean, I throw a guy in a trunk, he's going to just hop right out again. What am I supposed to do?
Now we have to tie him up. It's going to slow us down.
And I suppose that's true. I mean, here's a guy trying to make a living. And all of a sudden,
yeah, you couldn't say honest living.
I started to. So, I mean, it just goes to show you can't please everybody.
You just can't. And I can understand their dismay, but they're going to have to tough it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they're bothering to put the release in there anyway. I mean, what for?
In case you lock your keys in.
Inside the car?
Inside the trunk.
Then you're going to get in the trunk to open the trunk.
Yeah, but if you get in to find the keys and the trunk closes on you,
then you can get out again.
Yeah, if you can find the little thing
is it worth that to put people out of work?
No, of course not.
I think not.
If you'd like to put us out of work, you can call 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. You know, I thought about 15 years ago that we would have answered all the questions that could ever possibly have been asked, and we'd have to stop doing the show.
15? I thought like...
19.
19.
Well, I did too.
Well, and it's interesting because the questions just keep on coming, and we keep giving different answers. I mean, we probably have answered all of the questions, but never the same way twice.
Or never correctly once. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Lisa from Bloomington, Indiana.
Hi, Lisa.
So that's just plain old L-I-S-A, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely.
Southern Indiana, none of that foofy spelling for us.
No. Good.
No.
What's going on, Lisa?
Oh, you guys, my knights in shining armor, I swear. Okay, I have a problem. I drive a 1984 Oldsmobile Omega, and maybe that's the problem
sure
in and of itself,
do
right?
You have a problem.
Yeah.
So anyway, the emergency brake, about a month ago, I go to push it down and it flops to the floor, okay? It won't go click, 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 click. When I put my foot on it, it just flops to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I take it into my local garage and they call back and they tell me that it's frozen. The emergency brake cable is frozen, whatever that means.
Yeah, there are several cables on this car.
Okay, all right. So they tell me they're going to have to replace these cables.
Okay.
And I say, no problem. They're telling me about $150. And I'm like, cool. That's
sounds
fine.
Right.
Yeah.
So far, everything sounds absolutely right.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, yes. Now the drama begins.
Aha.
Uh-huh. So anyway, they call me back when the parts have come in and they say, Lisa, we're mystified. The cables that we ordered that, you know, are specified for your car, they don't fit.
Mm.
So we could try to get the parts from the dealer, but that's going to cost you a bunch. So what our guy did, and he's really good with brakes, he heated the brake cables and he tightened them, and it's going to cost you $10. And I ask him if it's safe. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's safe. So anyway, I go downstairs, and one of the girls downstairs at my job, her husband's a mechanic in a town north of here.
Mm.
So he's on vacation, of course, so she calls his buddy Ed. And he says, oh, no, don't do that. That's a death trap. So at this point, you know, I'm driving around, and I'm just done the $10 gig and everything. But, I mean, I need to know, you know, am I going to die a fiery death in my Omega?
Well, you probably are, but not for this reason. I mean, if you don't ever use the emergency brake, it
right.
can't ever cause you harm.
Cool.
Is this an automatic transmission?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Because all it does is holds the car once you've stopped and have what? parked. That's
right.
It's called the parking brake.
And it's there in the event that the thing should not be fully engaged and parked, that is the shifter,
mm-hmm.
or it should pop out for any reason. This is kind of a backup.
Mm-hmm.
When the transmission is in park, the car can't roll at all unless it malfunctions.
Right.
So this is a backup system. If you had a stick shift, it would be a little bit more responsible
mm-hmm.
for holding the car on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to die a fiery death. First of all, what they did, I think, was they heated up the cables, and the cables were rusted. They weren't frozen with ice.
Okay.
I mean,
it is almost
summer.
It's frozen.
Is the term that mechanics use to mean rust.
And those cables are braided steel cables that run through a sheathing, and the sheathing is often metal.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the metal rusts, and as it does, it begins to build up, and it will grab the cable and prevent it from moving
mm-hmm.
because the inside diameter of the sheathing gets smaller as the rust builds up.
Uh-huh.
So what they did probably is they took the cables out, they heated them up, they soaked them in penetrating oil, and they freed them up and got them to move.
Uh-huh.
They may be perfectly okay.
Ah.
So I wouldn't be too worried about it.
Yeah,
so
and also getting them from the dealership. I mean, we're not talking about $1,000 here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if this really bothers you and you park on steep hills all the time, I would just go to the dealer and get the cables.
Well, the left rear evidently is no longer being manufactured.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably the one that doesn't work anymore.
What
you can do alternatively is to travel around with a chock block. You know, it's a, you know what that is?
No.
It's a hunk of wood that you use to chalk the wheel.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay,
the only thing is you have to remember to remove it before you take off.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can attach it. I got it.
To
you
a rope.
Attach it with a rope,
uh-huh.
and you keep it in the trunk.
Oh,
no,
wow.
You keep it in the front seat right next to you. You reel it in. So you get in the car, the
no,
rope.
No, if you ever forget it and you drive away, you're always going to be driving up.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, that's not going
to
work.
No, that's not. You need to tie it to a rope and tie it around the steering wheel.
Well, see, you can't forget it if you're driving down because you have to go over a big bump.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're going the other way and it's behind the car, you'll just drag it.
Yeah.
I'd get a chalk block. You figure out how you don't lose it.
Oh, well, no. Those are really common in southern Indiana. You'd be amazed.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
You would be amazed.
So, Lisa,
no, I wouldn't.
Good luck to you because you have a really easy thing to worry about here.
And
I would stop worrying about it. If you do find yourself still thinking about it, go and do something. But if you forget about it, that's okay, too.
Yeah, and you're more likely to die a fiery death by having a fuel leak on this, which these cars tend to have. But I didn't mean to say that.
You didn't mean to.
Oh,
no, he didn't
mean
that. We'll instruct the jury to disregard that last statement. See you, Lisa.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Would
84.
That was the least of our problems.
Omega.
Huh?
Oh, my God. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Bruce in Danbury, Connecticut.
Bruce!
Hey, Bruce!
What's shaking?
Well, here's what I got. I got an Acura SLX. And I've had a problem that I'll bet you guys never heard of that's for years and years and years. And I refer to it as phantom tire pressure goblins that come in the night.
Oh.
Here's what happens. You go out to the car in the garage in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and you have a tire that's like, you know, a third, a quarter to a third flat.
Yeah.
Okay. And, oh, well, gee, I got a slow leak, blah, blah, blah. So you go, you fill it up, and it doesn't happen again. And maybe 3 months later, you go out to the garage, and the same tire, quarter to third to half.
Yeah.
What causes this mysterious...
The cat.
The cat.
The mysterious behavior of the cat. There are several things. Everyone, I believe, in the civilized world has experienced this very phenomenon.
Yes.
And the trouble is we don't have any real good data.
No.
Because it could well be a matter of perception. It could well be that when the tire has 30 pounds in it, it looks great. When it has 25 pounds in it, it looks great.
That's
when
right.
it has 20 pounds in it, it looks great. When it has 18 pounds in it, it looks great. But when it has 15 pounds in it, it looks like it's flat.
Right, so it's gradually losing the air.
And you don't notice it until it gets to 15, but it's been losing air every day.
Here's what you do, Bruce.
Yes.
Research!
You have a sleeping bag.
I do.
Here you go.
All right, here's what
you're going to camp out in the garage.
First of all, no matter what your wife says to you when you get home tonight.
Pick a fight with her.
Pick a fight. Say, that's baloney.
That's easy.
And then you will. Then you go to do what my brother said. Get your sleeping bag.
And then you have to set the alarm clock to wake you up like every 2 hours.
Okay.
And you have to keep a log. You have to record the tire. Go and buy yourself a good tire pressure gauge and record the tire pressure.
Mm. Okay.
And I think you will find out, if you record the tire pressure at least every day, that my brother is right.
This is the third time you've said this today.
Couldn't possibly be right. You must have a nail in this tire.
And should I fax my results to you for your data?
No, you give us your home number. We'll call you every 2 hours, make sure you're up.
Yeah, take the cell phone out in the garage with you.
And should I sleep with my ear, like, right next to the tire so
yeah.
I can hear it? Oh,
if something's leaking, you can hear it. Exactly.
But it's very possible you have a leak. I mean, I have seen cases where people have had pinholes in their tires, and depending upon how the thing was stopped, the thing will leak out, and it could leak 5 pounds in one night, depending upon what the orientation of the pinhole was.
Gotcha.
So you could lose, you could lose a half a pound one day, a half a pound another day, and then 5 pounds one night.
I mean, I just said that might be, I mean, because we don't have any, that might be, I mean, it might well be that you actually are doing something to make it lose air. For example, if you hit a curb once every 3 weeks, and it's possible to deform the tire enough to lose air from the tire.
Mm-hmm.
You actually can break the bead temporarily.
I got one problem with this answer, guys.
Which answer? We're giving you...
He doesn't drive
your answers. They're too logical. It doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, well, we're turning over a new leaf.
I guess so.
Yeah, we did get some letters from headquarters about not giving any right answers, so we decided to turn over a new leaf and try to give at least a few every week.
Where is headquarters?
Washington, man!
I guess I just need to reserve a spot on the tire pressure line.
But just for the heck of it, you really should check the tire pressure every couple of days, and I'll bet you'll find that it's really going down and you don't notice it.
Oh, you got to keep a log. We expect some kind of written report from you.
Absolutely. I'll mail it in.
All right. See you, Bruce.
Hey,
guys.
Bruce.
Yeah.
This is 30% of your grade.
And you did very well in the class participation portion, too. So yeah. I can expect you to get a solid B this term.
Yeah, that's better than usual.
Yeah. Well, we have to wait and see how you do on the field portion of this research.
My written report, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks, Bruce.
Take care, guys.
Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He was a nice guy.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing
not
great.
Not bad, not bad.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Not bad.
My name is Ellen, and I'm calling from Media, Pennsylvania.
So what's up, Ellen?
I drive a 1983 Honda Accord with 183,000 miles.
Wow, isn't that great?
It's a wonderful car.
Yeah.
I really do love it, but the hinge on the door has dried up. So every time I open or close my door... That's good. I was afraid you were going to make me do it.
No, my car does that too.
So you want to know the remedy for this?
I do, but I need to get it done actually pretty quickly because I just moved to a new neighborhood.
Oh, and your neighbors are all on your case.
Well, no.
Well, you don't want to make a bad first impression.
I'm a private kind of person, and when I come home late, I don't want to announce it to my whole neighborhood.
You can certainly... is the door very difficult to move or just make the noise?
Oh, no, it just makes the noise. And I realize that the easiest method of repairing this is just to go to the car parts store and get some kind of lubrication or something.
Yeah, well...
But I'm just trying to be environmentally friendly, and I realize that if I buy something, I'm going to use, like, one dab, and then what do I do with the rest of it? Do I throw it out?
No, you save it because that stuff lasts forever.
Lubricants are everywhere, man.
You know,
isn't there some kind of household product I could use?
Like Crisco?
Okay.
Yeah. Crisco.
Can I?
Do they still make Crisco?
Well,
the real question is, what the hell is Crisco?
I happen to know.
Yeah, because
it was in the newspaper today. I never realized this either. Crisco is made out of linseed oil.
Yeah. Whatever you have used
I thought
used
you
that?
Used that for your baseball glove.
You do.
Isn't that the stuff?
That's what I used on my glove.
Yeah.
Crisco.
So can I use it on my door?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Why not?
It's sure.
It's not going to eat away.
No, I mean, you could, for that matter, you could use Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil.
The trouble with those household lubricants, though, is that they don't last long.
Okay.
They'll get in there and they'll keep it from squeaking. but they'll just drip right out again.
Not that Crisco, man.
But no. I mean, you could certainly try it. Yeah, why not? Give it a shot.
Okay. I think keep a tub of Crisco in my glove compartment.
I think Crisco remains a solid up to temperatures of 125 degrees plus. Or semi-solid, whatever you call that stuff.
Linseed oil.
You know, and the thing is, it didn't look ominous because it was what?
It was pure white.
Pure white.
Yeah.
Wow. So I would use Crisco.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, cooking oil of some kind, or butter.
Butter.
Butter's good.
Butter's
and just apply it to the hinge and to the stop and all the pieces. I mean, you'll be able to figure out in 2 seconds as you work the door back and forth what, in fact, is making the noise. And you just slather this stuff on there until the noise goes away.
Sounds great.
Good luck, Ellen.
Great.
See ya.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Ellen.
Okay, Tommy, look, it's time to help you I like this, actually. Instead of just embarrassing you every week, I'm helping you to remember last week's puzzler.
Go ahead.
You ready?
I'm feeling lucky.
Okay.
Go ahead. Do it.
Here are your fill-in-the-blank hints. Ready? Ready?
Yes!
On last year's tax return, you reported that your net worth was blank.
Zero.
I said net worth, not self-worth. I was looking for $1,000.
Oh, all right. I have a good year.
Well, here's the second hint. When someone hit the numbers right, Uncle Nunzio would slip him a what?
A Mickey.
Well, sometimes, but I was looking for envelope.
Oh.
Because the puzzler was about $1,000 and 10 envelopes.
Oh!
Or envelopes. What's the right pronunciation of that word?
I think envelopes is right. Envelopes is a little bit pretentious, don't you think?
Envelope, yes.
I like envelope.
Right.
It's basic.
Right. I was enveloped by smoke. enveloped by smoke. Anyway, we'll have the answer in just a minute.
75 Detroit horses, 400 pounds of torque, 396 cubic inches to prove you weren't a dork. Did 0 to 60 in 6.7, 12 to a quarter mile. And when you pass by those blurry girls, you could see their blurry smiles.
And even though mathematicians try to figure out how 1 plus 1 can equal 0 whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit on how much you can earn. It's amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/match. 2021 Nielsen Report, limitations apply.
I'm Yoe Shaw.
I'm Kia Miakonatis.
We're the hosts of the NPR podcast, Invisibilia.
You can think of Invisibilia kind of like a sonic blacklight.
When you switch us on, you'll hear surprising and intimate stories.
Stories that help you notice things in your world that maybe you didn't see before.
Listen to the Invisibilia podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. I guess you'd have to call this a mathematical puzzler. And the one thing I liked about it is that it was brief.
It was brief, and it left little room for obfuscation, and it didn't need any obfuscation.
All right, here it is.
Go ahead.
I gave Tommy 1,000 $1 bills, and his assignment was, first, to come up with 10 envelopes. And once he did that, he had to figure out a way to put various numbers of dollar bills in those 10 envelopes so that no matter what amount of money I asked him for, he could hand me some combination of envelopes and always be sure of giving me the exact right amount. The question is, how did he do it?
That's the question. I thought the question was, what was going on in your mind that you gave me $1,001 bills?
And I could have given a hint last week and said one of the envelopes has $489 in it.
Oh.
Could have given that hint.
Really?
Well, yeah. And the other envelopes, the other nine, have $1.
I like that.
$2.
Yeah.
$4.
Mm-hmm.
$8.
$16.
$32. $64. $128. And the ninth envelope has $256. Now, if you add those up, 256, 128, 64, 32, blah, 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 you come up with 511. Because in base two, the next number
would be
512.
Yeah.
Okay, or 2 to the 10th would be 512. But you couldn't put 512 because you don't have it to put in there.
No.
So you can put 489. So you can get any possible number between 1 and 511 by using the first nine envelopes. And then anything beyond 511 up to 1,000 using 489 plus 1 gives you 490. 489 plus 2 gives you 491. Da, 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 da.
Man.
Pretty good, huh?
Wow.
Give me my 1,000 bucks back. It was only on a loan.
Well, give me my envelopes back.
A further demonstration of the power
of two.
Of two.
Man.
You can't do it unless the number is two. There you go. See? The power of two. Right?
They'll never let you. They just won't leave you alone, you know?
No.
I'm almost feeling sorry now. I'm going to have to stick up for my little brother. Yeah. Lay off the guy.
Jeez. I know. Jeez. Relentless.
I'm telling you.
And it's everybody, too.
God. I told him to do it. And we have a winner. The winner is Betty Benson from Houston, Texas. And for having her answer selected at random from the wastebasket full of correct answers that we did get, Betty's going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. And with that $25 gift certificate, Betty can get 1.392756601/67 of a Car Talk t-shirt. There's one of these in the Smithsonian, you know.
There is?
Yeah, Smithsonian Transmission Rebuilders on Lansdowne Street.
Good luck, Betty. Congratulations. Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, that power of two again. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, fellas. This is Reed from St. Paul. I'm calling about my Volkswagen Corrado.
Jeez, I don't think I haven't seen a Corrado.
They only made that for 3 months.
3 weeks. 3 weeks. Actually,
and they said, do we really want to make this car?
It's a great car. I don't see why they didn't keep making it.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't sell them. But you can tell us what your problem is.
Okay, my problem is I bought the car about a year ago, and I noticed this right away. It has about 100,000 miles on it. And when I'm on the freeway or highway, and I have to come to a stop, say like a stoplight or something, and right before I come to the stoplight, I need to change lanes left or right, the steering wheel flops over, and it'll literally flop over till the steering wheel can't go anymore, but the wheels are still going straight.
Huh?
Yeah.
What, the steering wheel turns and the car doesn't turn?
Well, actually, no, I will have made the turn and be in the other lane, but the wheel, if I've turned it that many degrees, it'll just flop over. Like,
well, I mean, it just continues to turn without any resultant redirection of the car?
Exactly. I won't be turning any more than that direction, but the wheel will be all the way to...
And you're driving this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, Reed, man.
It only happens occasionally. It does not happen every time.
Occasionally.
It only happens like what? When you're moving, right?
No.
Tuesday. No, Reed, you're in a death trap, man.
What do you... Well, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah.
Stop!
No, seriously, don't drive it anymore.
Okay.
No, you're going to get killed.
Okay.
I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, the steering wheel is held on to the steering column with a nut.
Okay.
And the steering column has cut into it grooves. And the grooves in that shaft are supposed to mate up with grooves in the steering wheel itself.
Okay.
And in fact, that shaft is tapered so that as you screw that nut down and tighten the wheel, those grooves are swaged together.
Okay.
But yours have been gum unswaged, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so that the steering wheel is really not connected to the mechanism that makes the wheels turn.
It's only partially connected.
Well, it may be, and you may feel, do you feel like the wheel is loose even under other circumstances?
No, not necessarily.
All right, then we'll go to plan two.
Plan two is a lot more expensive.
Plan two is that at the end, at the other end of the steering column,
yes,
is a thing called a pinion gear.
Yeah.
And that engages a flat gear, which is called the rack gear.
Rack and pinion steering.
There you go. I always wondered where that came from.
You're quick, Reed.
And
we're going to use that. It's got a ring to it, doesn't it? Rack and pinion.
Yeah, I love
it.
Yeah,
we should.
It's kind of catchy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you may have,
Inquisition sounding.
Like some fighters, a few teeth missing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that that's what I think it is.
I think you may have a tooth or two missing on the rack.
All right.
But that's it only happens when you change lanes to the left.
No, either direction.
Either direction. Then you got probably.
Well, it could be the right. You may not even have teeth missing. It may be that you have worn bushings at the end.
Okay.
But you must have like 165,000 miles.
He's got 100,000. Will you pay attention? He just told us he's got 100,000 miles on the car.
I wanted to give him a chance to change his story. Was the odometer broken for any period of time?
He doesn't know. He's only had the car for a year.
Was the onset of this sudden?
And
what were the first two words out of your mouth the first time it happened?
Yes, it was right away. That's pretty sudden.
It was once it was sudden. And what were those first two words that you uttered the first
time?
No,
this is it's a family show.
I was just curious.
No, you got to have this looked at immediately, Reed.
I mean,
I honestly, if it were my car, how far away from the mechanic do you live?
Only about 5 minutes.
Then maybe you can take a chance, but don't go anywhere, really.
All right.
Yeah,
because it's the sort of thing that could make the steering just stop working completely, and you'd kill somebody, and you'd be really sad
to
do that.
And under no circumstances except this answer, we can't see anything wrong with it.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's definitely something wrong with it.
All right.
Good luck, Reed.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for your call. 1-888.
My wife says to me, am I going to get in trouble again? No matter what's wrong with the car, I say, just drive it. So it's not, don't worry about it. This guy is saying the same thing.
Well, it's hard to assess. Well,
steering?
I don't think it's that easy. I mean, we live in a complex world.
Yes, we do.
We do. I mean, back in the old days, if a wheel fell off your wagon, you knew that you weren't going anyplace. But I think it's too much to expect the average person to know when something is dangerous.
Yeah.
When it isn't. I mean, I've seen in the shop, we've seen a combined 50 years of this where people come in with all kinds of things wrong with their cars that could have killed them.
Remember that guy who came in one day with an old Chevy? In fact, he had the leather done in the dashboard. It was a 56 Chevy.
Oh, do I remember it.
His name was Texera.
Yeah, we were lusting after that car.
Trying
to figure out a way to get it away from him.
And he had just driven, like, from California. And he said, gee, for the last, like, 500 miles, it's been vibrating like crazy.
And there's this funny noise that sounds like marbles rolling around in a coffee can.
Man.
And four of his five lug nuts on one wheel had come off, and they were inside the hubcap.
And the wheel was a couple of threads from falling off. He just kept driving.
See, you don't know. You don't know. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. You don't know when you're going to crash your computer, do you? See, if you knew, you wouldn't.
See, exactly.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
If I knew how much damage a little spilled coffee could do to a laptop, you'd think that thing could take a little joke.
You'd think so.
You spill a little cappuccino in that baby, and it's fried, man. It's fried. The guy calls me up, and he says, were you drinking coffee when this happened? And I innocently say, well, $500.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Amy calling from California.
Amy, where in California? North, south, middle, upper north, off the peninsula, where?
I'm in San Francisco.
All right.
Lower northern California.
Yeah, lower north. Middle northern.
Middle. Yeah. Yeah, what's up?
I love your show, And word on the street is you guys can fix anything.
Yeah, except a broken heart, Amy.
Well, I don't have one of those.
Great.
But I do have a motorcycle that I have a question about.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Okay, this is going to be another one of those. We have never seen a motorcycle. We have never worked on a motorcycle. We vaguely know what a motorcycle is. It's got fewer wheels.
I'm quick to remind you how well we did on the cattle car
Let's not forget that.
Amy, you should be
encouraged. We didn't know what a cattle car was, and we didn't know what electric brakes were, and yet we were able to help that gentleman.
Okay. I have a Kawasaki Ninja EX250, and the problem is the way my bike idles.
Oh, that's the Nesta motorcycle. I thought you had some rare disease. EX250, huh?
Okay. EX250. And what happens is I have to turn the choke on all the way just to start the bike, even in cold and warm weather.
It's carbureted, right?
Yeah. But the problem is I have to keep the choke on for at least 10 minutes while I'm riding the bike. Uh-huh. And even after that, when I turn the choke off, even after I've been riding it for about 20, 25 minutes with the choke off, the bike will die when I get to a stop.
Of course.
But sometimes, randomly, it will idle super high with the choke off after about 20 minutes of riding. So it's erratic in its idling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, I'll ride it for, like, this morning I rode it to work. I spent about 15 minutes on the freeway and about 10 minutes on side streets. When I got to close to work, the first light I got to, it died. I have to keep revving the engine with the throttle.
Which makes everyone next to you think you want to drag race them.
So then the next light I got to, it was idling at about 6,000 RPM, which pretty high.
Well, that's interesting.
It's a conundrum.
Well, I thought it was a Kawasaki.
Well, it's interesting because the fact that it wants to be choked would suggest that it's not getting enough fuel.
Or that you have a vacuum leak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it revs up to 6,000 RPM, that would suggest you're getting too much fuel.
Or you have a stuck throttle.
Or a stuck throttle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a vacuum leak is likely to cause a 6,000 RPM
I can't
idle.
Make it do that.
No.
I've struggled with it for all the time that she was talking.
Yeah. Well, you have two questions, and if we're lucky, we'll be able to answer one of them.
Okay.
Okay, now, this has like two wheels. Is that right?
You don't have a sidecar.
Are they next to each other or one behind the other?
I try to keep them, you know, one in front of the other.
One in front of the other. Mm-hmm. Familiar with that.
Yeah. Here's what you could do. This thing must have two cylinders, right?
I think it's a four-cylinder.
How many carburetors does it have?
How many should it have?
How many would you like it to have?
Could have one, two, or four. Pick a number.
I think it might have one or two.
You want her to say two, don't you?
I think it has one. Gosh, I should know, huh?
I think one makes the answer harder, don't you?
I don't know why I care.
Well, you're just making small talk.
Here's what I think you want to do.
Okay.
You want to strip off all the extraneous stuff like the air cleaner and all that so you can actually see the carburetors if you have more than one.
Okay.
And then I think you want to, you're interested in fixing this yourself.
Possibly, if I can, yeah.
Well, you may at that point figure out something like the carburetor is falling off.
Mm.
If the carburetor or carburetors or the intake manifold, I don't know how that thing works, were falling off, then it could cause exactly the condition that you have. So that's what I would look at.
Okay.
And are you going to address the 6,000 RPM issue?
I wasn't planning to, actually.
So that's probably a separate problem.
Yeah, I think so. That probably has more to do with color than anything.
Is it a red one?
It's black.
Oh, the black ninja. Come on.
Ninja. It does have a red stripe, though.
Yeah. Red stripe.
But I can't reconcile the two.
I can't either. It must be. No, you can reconcile. It's two separate problems.
However, if the carburetor were falling off, it could account for both
problems.
Yeah,
if it were falling off, then anything could happen, and that would definitely account for a purely erratic, crazy. Because who knows, you come to a stop sometimes and the carburetor might just sit right down where it belongs.
Sometimes it does that.
That's my story and I'm sticking with it and I don't care.
I like it. I like the carburetor is falling off.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's good because it's relatively easy to notice.
Right.
And
okay.
It's simple to fix.
And Amy, you are a prime candidate for Stump the Chumps. Yeah. Because they're always looking to Berman is always looking to embarrass us.
I'll do my best.
Well, thanks for your call, Amy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Glad we could be of assistance.
See you later.
Thanks a lot.
No question is too big or too small.
Hey, you know, we've been in this cramped little studio for going on like 40 minutes now.
Yeah. Huh?
And you know what you need to do before the new puzzler?
What, a nap?
No, it's just the opposite. Some fresh air. You need to go outside, walk around the block, get some air, man.
You want me to get you a coffee, too?
Cream, no sugar. Hurry up. We only got a minute. We'll be back with the new puzzler in just a minute.
Well, I got a Pontiac car, run real fast. I'm going to slow down, my license won't last. Slow down, GTO.
Slow down, GTO.
Slow down, GTO.
Slow down, GTO.
Slow down, GTO. Before they take you off of the road. She's black on black, on the floor. Put the pedal to the metal. Always got no slow down.
Even though our sister Lucille goes in and asks for an emergency siblingectomy whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Culturelle. IBS symptoms like abdominal pain, bloating, diarrhea, and constipation can be tough to manage with diet alone. Culturelle IBS Complete Support is a medical food for the dietary management of IBS designed to relieve the intensity and reduce the frequency of severe digestive symptoms associated with all IBS subtypes. Save 20% on IBS Complete Support with promo code radio on culturelle.com. We're back.
Ooh,
you're listening to Car.
Wake me up.
You're listening to Car Talk with us. Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and of course the new puzzler.
Yes.
And I don't know who sent this in because the author listed himself or herself as anonymous donor.
Anonymous donor.
Yeah, didn't want his or her name associated with the puzzler in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I thought it was going to be from obfuscation. Go ahead, man.
Well, there's this unusual little bar in some unusual little corner, and in this bar you can get a free beer if you know the secret code. Mm. The secret code works like this. The bartender, you sit down at the bar, the bartender tells you a number,
yeah.
And you tell him another number. If it's right, you get a free beer. For example, a customer goes up to the bar, and the barkeeper says, 6. The customer says, 3, and he gets his free beer. The second fellow goes up to the bar, and the barkeeper says, 12. The customer says, 6. He gets his free beer.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
A third customer sits at the bar, and the bartender says, 14. The customer says, 8. He gets a free beer.
Mm.
You're sitting there. The bartender turns to you and he says, 22. What do you say? And it didn't start with the word go. So the bartender says 22 to you. What do you say? That is, if you want a free beer. Now, if you think you know the answer, so I'll repeat them. The bartender says 6. The customer says 3.
Yeah.
The bartender says 12. The customer says 6. The bartender says 14. The customer says, unfortunately, 8. You were hoping for 7.
I was.
Yeah. And then the bartender says 22. I believe that's what he said.
Hmm.
And you say,
something.
Squat. Now, mm-hmm. If you know the answer, write it on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Right now, if you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888 877-227-8255, a lawyer on Car Talk.
This is Ann Lanzera.
Hi, Ann. No last names, please. Where are you from, Ann?
Ann Lanzera, huh?
Lanzera. Lasagna, if you forget.
Yeah, Ann Lasagna. Where are you from?
Roanoke, Virginia.
Roanoke.
Oh, yeah.
Lanzera. That's a good name.
Well, you're from down south of Italy, right? Roanoke.
Roanoke.
Yeah.
What's up, Ann?
Listen, I really need your help.
Well, that's too bad.
You called it a bad time.
We're batting about 1,000 today.
Oh, good.
In the wrong direction.
Oh, bad.
But things can change.
You might be our good luck charm.
Oh, I hope so. Listen, I've got this 79 Jeep Wagoneer.
Okay, we're in the twilight zone again.
We're in no man's land now. Wagoneer.
You know what I'm talking about now. Not one of these little ones.
Oh, we know. Are you kidding me?
Of course.
The big thing.
The Starship Enterprise. Yeah. The mothership. So you're stuck with the 79 Wagoneer, obviously.
Well, my husband is stuck with it. I love it. I want it to live forever, kind of like Tommy's Dartra.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've got this 4-year-old son who's not cooperating with me.
Uh-huh.
My problem involves both of them.
Yeah.
The Jeep burns some oil, and sometimes smoke leaks into the passenger compartment. And it kind of worried me, because I carry these small children around everywhere. And
your wimpy little 4-year-old kid can't take it?
Well, the 4-year-old does, but the 1.5-year-old looks like she's going to throw up. So I found this stuff. It was called Ring Seal. It looks like 1,000-weight oil.
Yeah.
And I thought it might improve the situation.
Yeah.
And?
So my son and I are out on the driveway doing the auto maintenance thing.
Yeah.
We're checking the fluids. We're adding the coolant. And I thought I was being a good, responsible parent. I put the cap on the coolant. And you guys have said in the past that, you know, animals and small children are attracted to this stuff because it smells and tastes, looks sweet.
Right.
So I carried the coolant back into my garage, and I placed it up high on the shelf. Inadvertently, I left the ring seal on the engine of the Wagoneer. When I returned from putting the coolant away, my 4-year-old said, Mom, I helped you. He looked so happy. Knowing that this is the kind of help I usually don't need.
He poured it into the radiator.
Well, yeah, I kind of screamed at him, like, how? And I'm not really sure if I understand his explanation. He put the ring seal in the power steering fluid reservoir.
Good for him.
Maybe he put it in the automatic transmission, but I think he put it in the power steering fluid.
Yeah, no, he didn't put it in the transmission. That's too hard to do.
So anyway, he must have climbed up on the fender to do this, because like I said, I put it in the back and I didn't know what to do. I love this vehicle.
Now, what a little guy. This is how my brother and I got started, actually.
I help you, Mommy.
Yeah.
Words to strike fear into any mother's heart.
Sure.
I help you, Mommy.
Now, my husband refers to this vehicle as the junk, except when it snows, and then he's the first one out to get it.
Sure.
But he never wants to spend more than $50 on a repair bill, and he wants a new 4-wheel drive.
Well, how much of this automatic ring seal stuff did he...
He used most of the bottle.
Most of the bottle?
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't have fit in the power steering reservoir.
Well, it probably didn't. When I checked it, it looked pretty overfull.
Overfull.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he put half of the bottle in. I don't know.
And the rest of it in his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
has it stopped burning oil or what?
I haven't run it since then.
I just put
it in park and left it alone. But I don't want to tell my husband about this because he'll say, let's get rid of the car. I don't want to get rid of the car. I want to repair it.
Hmm.
I want you guys.
So you haven't even started it up since then?
Uh-uh.
That's good.
Is that good?
That's good. Yeah. I mean, we can at least undo... What's your son's name?
Matthew.
We can undo Matthew's little help mummy. Because get yourself your turkey baster, right? Oh, you got one of those?
Yeah.
One of those things that sucks up the juice?
Yeah.
And take off the cover to the reservoir and suck out as much of that stuff as you can and replace it with real stuff.
Real power steering fluid.
Real power steering fluid.
And then run it and then do that again.
Okay.
I mean, or you could take it. You could have it towed. You don't want to tow it to the gas station.
No, I don't want to tow it to the gas
station. All right, use the turkey baster. It only costs $2.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll have to throw it away after this, unless you want to make entirely brown gravy.
Throw it away.
The turkey baster?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the fluid.
No, just stick to brown gravy from now on.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, he didn't do any harm.
Okay.
But when you do get this stuff out and buy another bottle and put it in the crankcase where it belongs, it's very unlikely that it's going to help.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, you know what you need? You need the pellets. Remember the pellets?
Do they make those?
Yeah. If you get the J.C. Whitney catalog, They have the pellets in there someplace. The magic pellets, which you take out the spark plugs and you drop one pellet into each cylinder.
They look like aspirins.
Yeah.
And you start the engine up and the pellets go and then disappear.
And they magically coat the inside of the engine.
Magically.
No, magically. So the magic of chemistry. They managed to magically plate the cylinder walls and make the diameter of the cylinder smaller to accommodate those worn out, sloppy piston rings that are causing oil consumption.
Ah.
Well, did you say that they do this, or they allegedly?
Well, we know they do it, except it doesn't last too long.
How long?
About an hour.
Oh. Bad sign. Yeah.
Bad sign.
So it's not going to work. If you're really burning oil because you have bad rings, and it's really getting into the vehicle, it's time to say goodbye to the Wagoneer.
Oh, no.
Well, you don't want your little kids to be inhaling
oil. Oh, that won't hurt them.
Oil?
That won't hurt them.
No?
No. Toughen them up. Come on, you want these kids to be wimps?
It'll coat the inside of their lungs.
Sure.
And that'll be it.
Just keep driving.
Thanks, God.
No, seriously, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to have the kids breathing in all that stuff.
So my husband's right. Go get a new four-wheel drive.
Your husband's right, yeah.
Yeah, is he buying?
Buy a new Jeep.
Yeah, he's up for it.
Yeah, go for it.
New Jeep is good.
You know, you guys are exactly opposite. Usually, I mean, my wife is the one who always wants to go out and buy stuff, and I have to hold her back. Tommy's wife is the same way.
Oh, boy, can she spend it. Oh, man. Woo-hoo. I don't spend a
nickel. His wife spends so much money, he's almost had to get a job. So things are rough around here.
Yeah, no, go out and buy a new Jeep.
You know anybody who wants to buy a 79 Wagoneer?
No one.
Oh.
See you later, Ann.
Good
Thanks,
luck.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve. How you doing?
Where
what's
are you
up?
From, Steve?
Well, I'm from New York City.
What a place, huh?
Sounds so nice, they've named it twice.
The Rotten Apple.
That's what it is.
What's up?
Well, I guess I'm having a philosophical problem here. And that is, when do you end a love affair with a money pit?
Yeah.
I've got a 1974 Datsun 260Z. I've had it for, I guess about 17 years now. And I keep pouring money into it. I've spent, you wouldn't believe how much money I've poured into this car in the last few years.
Yeah.
And
what instrument do you play?
I was driving in the New Jersey Turnpike, and the engine just exploded. And I've been talking to some mechanics, and they tell me to get the thing repaired. It will cost me about $4,000 if I try to fix it, and about $1,500 if I try to replace the motor, and I'm in a quandary.
Where is quandary?
Just outside of New York City. It's near Rye, I think. What instrument do you play, Steve?
I'm sorry?
You sound like a musician.
Oh, well, the piano.
Piano.
Wait, how did you know that?
Yeah, how did you know that?
He sounds like a musician. He has that lyrical... lilt in his voice.
What do you mean? I mean, are you a professional musician?
No, not at all.
Just a hacker. And you could tell that by listening to this guy's voice? You're incredible.
What do you do for a living?
I work on Wall Street.
Oh, so you'll be looking for a job soon.
Well, I hope you can play the piano because... Okay. A 74 260.
The problem. There was a day when I might have been able to afford to fix it, but I'm not sure that I still can.
Not anymore.
That's right.
Well, do you need a car?
Do I? No, I really don't. My primary means of transportation is the subway.
Yeah. Who is this girlfriend that you visit?
Well, my wife is sitting right next to me. Oh. Right
now, here's our private number. So you really don't need a car.
You don't need a car.
You use this car for an occasional visit to the relatives and whatever, an occasional escape to see the fall foliage.
That's right. But bear in mind that the emotional attachment I have to it. I got the car when I first got out of college.
Yeah.
It's the only car I've had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everything must go. All things must pass, Steve.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, all is flux, according to Lao Tzu. But you must let go. You must let go, and you must embrace the unknown. And the unknown is buying a lot of subway tokens. Because
I don't think we can just tell that Steve to dump a car that he's been in love with for 17 years.
Well, for the amount of money that you're going to spend to fix this, plus what it costs you to insure it, plus the hubcaps you have to replace every 2 weeks, plus all the other things.
Sure, but I mean,
all the other expenses associated with this, you could just forget this car, and whenever you wanted to travel someplace, you could rent a car for a weekend or a week or whatever you needed
it
for.
You're absolutely right.
And have a net savings at the end of the year and have the benefit of driving a brand new car every time and a different one.
Well, that's true, but it wouldn't be a 1974 Datsun 260Z.
Well, thank God.
See, my brother doesn't understand this.
What's that?
My brother doesn't understand this.
He really doesn't.
He doesn't. I mean, he puts everything in dollars and cents terms and in pure practical
terms. I'm a pragmatic guy. When you could drive a new 300ZX, you could drive a Mazda Miata.
Who cares about new Mazda Miatas? Steve's in love with this car.
Right.
What's a few thousand dollars, aside from the fact that you're going to be laid off very soon? I mean, if not worse.
Well, that's right.
I mean, but the, so what?
How much have you spent on this thing in the just...
Practically nothing.
In the last 2 years.
I think the cost of a Mazda Miata has been sunk into it in the last couple of years.
Dump
it. I rest my case.
You'll love the Miata.
Yeah, I think you have a strong case here for you getting rid of this car.
One last thing here, Steve. What does your wife think you should do with this car? If anything you can say over the air, at least.
Lisa, what do you think we should do with this car?
Sideways and what?
She thinks it's a money pit. She says it looks good, but it's a money pit.
And she would like to do what?
She'd like to put it in somebody's garage for 10 years.
Well, that might just be the thing to do. You could put it right next to my 74 Chevy Caprice Classic at Nissen Baum's junkyard in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Can we collect it in 10 years?
Sure, you can come back and get it. Okay. It'll be a little smaller.
Nissen, yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
They crush everything after a week. But it'll be interesting.
These crush easily, too.
They crush real good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they can make this coffee table size.
Hey, that would be interesting. Yeah. Make it into a coffee table and put it in your house. It'll be the only 2,000-pound coffee table.
Kind of like stellar
exists.
Matter, you know, like black holes are made out of very dense matter.
Exactly.
Right.
And that way you won't give it up. It'll still be around serving a useful purpose.
This will be motor matter.
Motor matter. It's sort of like having your ashes on the mantle.
I think that's an excellent idea. That way I can keep the thing that I'm emotionally attached to and it won't cost me any more money.
What? Watch it. Your wife is right there.
See you later, Steve. I think you know what to do. Bye-bye.
The thing he is most attached to, and his wife is sitting right next to him?
Well, you know, I mean, he was speaking.
Yeah, the thing, and not the person.
Right.
The thing.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Tuvalu Beef Stew Homebrew Cordon Bleu and Cheese Fondue Ballyhoo, is John Bugsy Lawler.
And they see him right here.
He's hanging his head in shame. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our former brake service manager is Carson DeLake. Our Puerto Vallarta transmission specialist is Cinco de Mayo. Our staff termite inspector is Luke Underwood. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Of course, as always, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Sid Vicious lookalikes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And of course, don't drive like my brother.
Of course, don't like... And of course, don't drive like my brother. I got lost there. I got carried away.
We'll be...
I had a whole line. I couldn't handle
it. Can't count on you people for anything. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
I fell asleep.
You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR landscaper takes a long, hard look at his wood chipper whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.